I'd like you to open the Word of God with me, please, to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 9. John chapter 9, as we continue our study in the miracles of Jesus. And we come in this series, at least, to lesson number 6. And what a lesson it is. On a man who was born blind that the Lord Jesus healed. The Bible says in John chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Who did sin? This man, or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, let's stop for just a moment. It's interesting, but most of us love to ask questions like this, intruding into things we don't know anything about, and a good picture of our world, analyzing people instead of seeking to aid them. And of course, the Lord Jesus is about to do something wonderful for this man, but there's an even greater miracle going on here, and that is he's teaching his disciples something. The Bible says that Jesus answered in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now, it doesn't mean that this man was sinless or that his parents were sinless. It means that his disease or his blindness was not a result of his sin directly. All disease or all blindness, all physical ailment, in one sense, is a result of sin because man has fallen and we live in a sin-cursed world. But he means by this that this was not some curse on something this man had done. In other words, God allowed it so that he could do a special work in this man's life and, of course, the lives of all those who witnessed this miracle. Verse 4, Jesus says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. What a wonderful miracle as Jesus heals this man. I want you to mark a phrase, if you would please. In verse number 4, these four words, "while it is day." Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And there is such a night coming. The word "work" here in verse 4 literally means to be totally committed, committed to get the job done, whatever it takes. And the Lord Jesus said, "I am committed to do the works that the Father sent me to do while it is day." Now we'll come back and explain that phrase more in just a moment. Let me encourage you in preparation to teach the lesson this week, to read through chapter 6, answer the preparation questions, and then meditate on these lesson aims. There are 5 of them. Let me give them to you quickly. First of all, to understand that God's work is the work of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. That's very interesting. John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus answers for us what his work is. John 6, 28 says, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." So the work of God is to bring people to himself, and for us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, and so we should compare Scripture with Scripture. This is God's work in this world, not just healing a blind man, but bringing lost people to himself so that lost men would believe, and so that those of us who are disciples would believe on him in a greater way. That's what brings God glory. Remember Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So the thing that glorifies God is our faith. And that was the cause for this particular miracle. I want God to do his work in my life, don't you? I want him to create this faith in me that is necessary to please him. Secondly, to see that there is a time of opportunity that we must seize to get the gospel to those who are lost. We'll come back to that thought. Thirdly, to show that we must do more than simply discuss man's problems. We must meet the needs by seeking to lead men to Christ. Now, some people spend all their time on radio and television talk shows simply talking about people's problems. That doesn't fix anything. And then there's a group of well-intentioned people who seek to make the world a better place. A pastor's taught us often that basically what they're doing is making the world a better place from which to go to hell. The greatest work of all is to bring people to a knowledge of their greatest problem, which is their sin and their need of Christ. Fourth is to realize that all those without Christ are living in spiritual blindness and that their greatest need is to receive spiritual sight. Now, the greatest blindness of all is not physical blindness, it's spiritual blindness. And that was the case of this man and the case of all those who are around. And then number five, to allow God to work through us to accomplish His work in people's lives while it is day. And that brings us back to the title of this lesson. What is this little phrase? Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. What does that day mean? Would you write this down? This means while there is opportunity. In other words, God gives us a day or a period of time to make count for Him and for eternity. And when the day concludes, the night comes. So sad that many people waste their opportunities. They waste the day that God gives them. We must not miss our time. There are three simple truths in the lesson this week that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, we see in John chapter 9, the light of the world. We must start with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And so what was He doing? He was piercing the darkness of this world. Remember that for 400 years, there had been no open revelation. You want to talk about a dark day. There was a great need, and the light of the world broke through that darkness. The work He desires to do, of course, is the work of salvation. What a great work it is. Let me give you some things to write down. First of all, there are two things that every man needs. They need, first of all, light, and secondly, they need sight. What do we mean by this? Well, first of all, they have light. All men have some light. We're born with the light of conscience within us. We've been given the light of creation. We look around us and see the world that our God has created. We have the light of Christ in history. That is light that's been given to all men. But men need more than just simple knowledge of certain things around them or even within them. They need sight. And what is this sight? They need a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, no doubt this blind man had heard about the Lord Jesus, but not until the day that the Lord Jesus stopped, made spittle out of the clay, and touched this man's eyes, were his eyes open where he could actually see. Men need a light, and men need sight. Men need to know the light of the world. They need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Another thing I want you to notice here about the light of the world is that there are two types of blindness. There is physical blindness, and then there is spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verses 3 and 4 are a good commentary on this. The Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that is the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The greatest blindness of all is not the blindness of a man's eyes. It's the blindness of a man's mind and heart from the truth of the gospel. So you have two things that every man needs, light and sight. You have two types of blindness, physical and spiritual. And then there are two great truths about the light of the world here. The first is that when we can't see Christ, He sees us. Notice something very interesting back in verse number 1. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, mark this, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. And when you cannot see Him, He sees you. He has His eye on you. He's after every sinner. He's interested in our lives. He loves us. He gave Himself for us. A second truth is that when others don't see us with compassion, God does. The people that passed by that day, they didn't see Him with compassion. Even the disciples, verse number 2, they looked at this blind man and said, well, Lord, tell us, did this man sin or did his parents that this man was born blind? You see, there are times that all of us look so skeptically at people. But I want you to know that with all the cynicism in this world, God with sincere love looks on us and cares about our hell-deserving souls. I want to challenge you, don't be one of Job's friends. At least don't be the three that sat around all those days trying to pick him apart and tell him everything that was wrong in his life. Point people to Christ, look at people with the love of Jesus Christ, and point them to the light of the world. The second truth we see here is not only the light of the world, but the blindness of these Pharisees. If you begin, I want to encourage you to do this before the Lord's Day, in verse number 8, and study down through verse number 34, there's a dialogue here going on among these Pharisees. And what's wrong with these Pharisees? They're like the elder brother that the prodigal son had. What's wrong with these Pharisees? They could not rejoice that this blind man got healed. You got to read the rest of the story. You see, there's more to it than just the one miracle of the Lord opening the eyes of this blind man. The most blind people there were these Pharisees. They were blind spiritually. They could not rejoice over this good thing. What are they doing? Well, they're fussing, as always, about what the Lord Jesus did and when he did it, because he healed him on the Sabbath. They even brought his parents into question. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, when you look at these Pharisees, it would almost be a humorous thing. But when you look at this man and you see him so dejected, so cast out by these Pharisees, what a sad thing it is. There's a great hope here, and that is that even when others cast you out, the Lord finds you. What a great thought this is. I want you to look down to verse number 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins to this man, and dost thou teach us? Notice this, and they cast him out. Watch now, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him. They cast him out, but Jesus found him. Now, there are Pharisees sitting in churches all over this country. God deliver us from being Pharisees. We all have hypocrisy in us. And may God challenge us to judge ourselves that we be not judged. You see, those who can't rejoice in the salvation of lost sinners are either under conviction themselves because they've never been saved, or they've lost the joy of their own salvation. May God help us never get over the wonder of what it means to be saved, and to always rejoice, as the angels do in heaven, over the salvation of even one lost sinner. We see the light of the world. We see the blindness of the Pharisees. Thirdly, we see the sight of this man. Now, you might think we're talking about the physical sight found in the opening part of the chapter, but I want you to see the last part of the chapter. Notice in verse 35 that when Jesus had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Remember, the great work of God is that we might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. What a great statement of faith. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. That's the blind man. And that they which see might be made blind. That's the Pharisees. In other words, if a man will follow the light he has, God will give him more light. And if a man rejects the light God has given him, then he enters into great darkness. I want you to think about this blind man for just a moment. You want to talk about great disappointment. After being healed, they cast him out. Let me remind you of something. Disappointments are God's divine appointments. You see, it was at this juncture in the story that he actually saw the Lord in more ways than one. Oftentimes, the worst thing in life leads to the best thing. And God brings us to himself. That is God's work in this world, bringing people to himself. Fanny Crosby said, Don't feel sorry for me, the blind hymn writer. Don't feel sorry for me, because I've seen more with my eyes closed than I ever would have with my physical eyes open. Imagine this. The first thing Fanny Crosby saw when she got to heaven, first thing she ever saw was the Lord Jesus. I want you to think about this blind man. The first thing he saw when his eyes were open was the face of the Son of God. And God uses circumstances to bring us to himself. And not only us. Imagine that God may be using something in your life to bring others to himself. You see, these disciples saw. They saw for the first time, many of them, who the Lord truly was and what he was doing. You see, the Lord Jesus did not have a healing ministry, no matter what anybody tells you. He didn't have a healing ministry. He had a revealing ministry. His purpose was not merely to heal people. His purpose was to reveal to people who he was, and he simply used his healing and used miracles like the one we're studying this week to reveal to people who he was. Let's stop discussing problems and let God do his work in our lives. I'll give you a couple of encouragements for the lesson. First of all, give the gospel. What a wonderful opportunity to encourage lost people to come to your Sunday school class, to your Bible study this week, and then give them the gospel, point them to Jesus Christ. And then seek to help believers see God at work in their own lives, in the difficulties, in the details, in every twist and turn, to see God at work in it all. And what is God working to do? Not only that we might believe on him and be glorified, God be glorified in our life, but also that we might lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me draw your attention back to John 9 in closing. Notice that the Lord Jesus said, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And someone may say, well, the Lord Jesus is gone now, so there's no light. Oh, no. Christ is still at work in this world. How is he at work in this world? In every one of us who've believed on him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. What is my purpose in this world? I'm to be a light. Remember, a candle set on a candlestick to give light to all who are around. I'm to be his witness in this world, doing what? Pointing men to Jesus Christ, who can heal their blindness. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. May God in heaven give us a holy urgency. What I cannot do with energy some days because of weariness of the flesh, I still must do with urgency because I have one life, one day, one opportunity to make it count. And may God help us to do it as the Lord Jesus did.